And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is Peter Nowoszelski, who is one of the authors of Separate Well or Separation Hell. Peter is a separation transition consultant. He's a registered nurse. He has a graduate diploma in mental health and a diploma in counselling. He's a training consultant. He's a parent in separation consultant and a children's advocate, among many other things. He has worked in this area of separation and divorce and collaborated in various family projects for over 8 years and written articles for various organisations in regard to the effects of separation on children. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So, Peter, your book is subtitled, This Book Could Potentially Save You Thousands, Save Your Sanity and Save Your Children. Is this something that you've seen in your practice when things go wrong?
What I've found is that through the hundreds of divorces that we have actually seen is that the longer it takes, the more money it takes, and the more emotional turmoil there is. So it often is about shortening the process. But most people don't understand what that process is and how that process affects you. So this is one of the reasons why we wrote this book, to assist people in that process and to understand what happens to you emotionally, what happens to your children, and what happens to those around you as well.
I think you make the comment that people don't tend to research what's going to happen when they separate, and this is a real problem. This is why there is a need for your book, I'm sure.
Now, one of the areas that we talk about in our book is Chapter 3, and it talks about pleasure versus pain. So, you know, often when we're booking a holiday or we're buying a new car, you know, it produces pleasure sort of hormones, so we like to do that, so we continue to do those things. So, but divorce and separation is a very painful thing, so often people will, you know, just bury their heads in the sand and live in denial. So, you know, it's one of the most important things you're going to do in your life, and people do not research it or research it well. But also, at the same time, it's the people that you go to for that information as well. Often it's family and friends, or lawyers even, and, you know, often that they don't know your family situation. And most people haven't been through a really good divorce, have they? So, you know, they are often the wrong people to talk to. So rather than getting support from family and friends and those other people, it becomes collusion. And when you collude with somebody, it actually makes it a lot worse.
Yes, and these are unqualified friends and people who are trying to do the right thing but can sometimes lead you down the wrong path. So if someone comes into your practice, what can they expect?
The first thing that we often do is to find out the story. And often what we've found that people aren't even in the realm of separating just yet. They just think often, this is my last resort, I need to do this. You know, this is all I can do now. But often, you know, with a bit of counselling and a little bit of talking, we can disseminate some of the problems that are associated with it, and often, you know, stop people from actually separating in the first place.
The first involvement is actually to try and keep the marriage intact.
Absolutely. In a position of power almost, where that if I did give someone the information to separate, invariably they will separate because they're just looking for answers. Mm. Often, you know, like if we sit down and talk to them, they still want to be in that relationship, but they just think this is my only end I can do. It does take a bit of juggling around and a bit of counselling, but often when you get both couple, you know, the actual couple coming in to see me, often, you know, the issues are very easy to sort out if it's at that stage. But there are situations where I have where the other person has checked out of the relationship and there's no going back. And it's about then, you know, I'm providing a safe environment to separate, and also an environment that doesn't involve as much as possible the legal profession. Yeah, we always talk about, you know, and it's the big catch cry in separation and divorce that we want to do it in a non-adversarial way. But often, if you look at all the points, it actually goes towards the adversarial route.
Yes, look, I'm sure we'll get onto those problems, but you say that it's written for the parents who want the best for their children. Are there some parents who, do they forget that this is what it's all about?
I think what parents do is that they're so emotional and they, you know, and they're really upset or angry with their former partner. And I think I said earlier about the collusion factor is they go looking for answers and they go talking to a lot of people, but that makes them even more overwhelmed and more angry, especially if they collude with these people that have had not very good divorces, especially. So once they, you know, are told to get a lawyer and they go and see a lawyer, the lawyer then actually helps them on their way with that rather than actually calms things down and actually has a collaborative way of dealing with it. And that's what we're all about. It's about being reasonable, being collaborative and actually doing what's best for your children. And sometimes we as adults forget that and we think what's best for us is best for our children, but often it's not. Having two parents involved in a child's life is what children really want. If you ask a child what they would like in their separation, if they don't want to be caught up in games and they want to have access to both parents. I'm hearing this in adults as well who have been children growing up through divorce and they just wished and still wish that their parents could actually get along. And that's the cornerstone of all of this, is that trying to get to a situation. And it might not happen so quickly. It might happen after a year or two, but often anger begets anger and often cooperation begets cooperation in the end. So it's about how you deal with it early on that sets the path on how you're going to traverse this, you know, this situation.
And on the other side of the coin, you refer in the book to the myths on separation. What sort of myths are we talking about here?
First and foremost, I have had people say to me at different times that my lawyer is my friend and my lawyer is going to help me to get through this process. Often it's not about the lawyers helping you through the process. It's about you, the parent, getting on the same page and being able to do that. And there's lots of other myths in family law. One of those myths is that there's a presumption in family law that you have access to your children, and that's not the case at all. There is no presumptions in there. The Family Law Act is very grey, and it says two main things. It says what's in the best interest of the child, but it doesn't actually go on to state what it is. So when you've got two people that are very emotional, very upset, it's going to make it very hard for them to agree on those things. Yet there are no default positions in family law. Like, in actual fact, it actually almost gets you to fighting if that's the way it is. So rather than actually not traversing the family law system, then that's the best way to go as much as possible.
I think you encourage people to work within the system. I mean, it's not a perfect system. It's far from that. But it's what we have to work with at the moment. And I think that would be your general advice, isn't it, to see how to work the system best for your advantage?
Absolutely, because it's the system that we have right now. And I often get people saying to me, they ought to change this, they ought to change that. But that's not going to help their situation at that point in time. So it's about learning about, you know, what's within the system, learning about the Family Law Act and what you can and can't do, and actually going from there. And also calming down, because once someone receives a lawyer letter or they receive an angry text from their former partner, often people will almost go into a meltdown until they can get some proper advice. But that doesn't always mean running to a lawyer first off, because running to a lawyer means that you're battling rather than resolving. It means that it pits you against your former partner rather than, you know, and being able to sit down and say, look, I want to be able to work this out with you. I don't want to involve all this cost factors and this emotional turmoil. So that's where we're at with this book, and that's what this book does provide you.
I'd have to agree. Sometimes the lawyers just put petrol on the fire. But we're going to take a short break now. We're going to listen to a song by the recently departed David Bowie, who's singing a song with Queen called Under Pressure.
Pressure. hands, but it don't work. Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn.
And that was Under Pressure by David Bowie singing with Queen. And our guest today is Peter Nowoszelski, who with Eric De Bruin has written a book, Separate Well or Separation Hell. And we've just been talking about the situation where a separation doesn't go well and the parents start heading off down the wrong track and in an adversarial environment. And sometimes, Peter, I guess it's too late for you to get involved if the daggers are already drawn.
It's actually, well, I'm never too late because the process is the process itself. So once you go down, you know, it's a three-step process, separation and divorce. It's separate, mediate, court. And that's how simple it really is if done the right way. It's the areas between the separation and the court that people get very disorganised in, and that's where all the angst and the, you know, and the games that are played actually come into, you know, that area. So if we can make it as simple as possible, and that's why we've written about separate, mediate, court. It's nothing but a three-step process in very minor cases, but once you start getting into the real complex cases with allegations of abuse and those sorts of things, that's a different story altogether. But the basic premise of divorce is you separate, and if you can't work out your agreements, you go to mediation or you mediate in some way. And if that doesn't work, then you go to court to have someone adjudicate that decision.
So if you can't do it yourself, you get someone like a judge to make the decision for you, which may be a decision that no one likes.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think our advice is to avoid the family law battle as much as possible.
So court is definitely a last resort as far as you're concerned.
Absolute, utter last resort.
And do you get the parents to come in? Do you set out for them what's important here and then get them to try and work out something while they're in your office? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, people talk about, you know, trying to change the family law system, and I fully agree with that because it is broken as it is. But I'll often say to people, look, it starts with you two. It starts with you, you know, to be able to set up your family. So if you traverse this the right way, whatever, even though you might not like your former partner, and you don't respect that person, your children do. And it's about seeing it from their eyes and about looking at it from their perspective. Your children don't want to be dealing with parents' issues as well as their own. It's bad enough as it is that a child is going through this process as well. And often what happens is that they've got mum who's really upset and they've got dad who's really upset. So when they go and see mum or dad, or the other person is really upset, you know, with their former partner. So what happens is that the child goes into a survival mode, and that is that they will actually side with that parent when they're with them. And that's not a good situation that should ever happen to a child. Dividing their loyalties is absolutely a ridiculous state of affairs.
Yes, there is certainly the complicating factor of when the children start getting involved in this area. You've mentioned, I think, that kids really love to be with both parents. So what are the reasons why they might decide to side with one parent or the other?
It's because children aren't born to hate, and they're not born to be negative towards the other parent. If there's been a big involvement by that parent, like or a significant other in that child's life, taking that person away from that child becomes a grief situation. So a child doesn't hate their former, you know, their parent at all, but they're made to hate their parent, or they're made to dislike their former partner. And often it is a survival mechanism. You know, often in parental alienation, especially, a child will side with one of the parents, you know, and that's where they feel that that's where they have to be. So if the other parent is bagging their, you know, mum or dad, then they feel like they have to do that also as well. And then it becomes a brainwashing almost. So, as I said earlier, no child hates their parent.
So when you say survival method, do you think, are they fearing they're going to be abandoned by perhaps both parents if they don't pick one or one or the other?
Yeah, that's a possibility. But when they're actually travelling from one house to another, yet they have to live in that environment, at that point in time as well. So if dad's saying mum's, this and that, or at that point in time, if that parent or does not want to hear anything positive about the other parent. So the child will often feel like it's punished if they love their other parent, which is diabolical for that child.
And we're speaking with Peter Nowoszelski, who is one of the authors of Separate Well or Separation Hell. Peter, in this book, you speak in the common man's voice. It's a very easy book to follow, and you've included a number of tips. I wonder if you could just take us to some of those well-practiced and very helpful tips that you pass on to parents who read your book.
Okay, often I say there's three things that you must do in your separation. If there's three tips I'll give you, one is that get the right support and the right information. And there's a big difference between collusion and support. So if you want someone to hear your story and hear about how bad your ex-partner is, there's lots of people that will collude with you. But the right people who will support you but will also tell you what you're doing wrong. And that's where we sit. It's because Separate Well is an organisation that's not linked to anybody. It means that we have our own ethos, and it means that we can be very honest with people. Often in my practice, I've been very brutally honest, and people actually enjoy that in the end. At the time, they don't like it, but they actually come to see shortly after that, that is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Another tip that I'll give people is low conflict. So keep it as low conflict as possible. As I said a bit earlier as well, is that respect begets respect, anger begets anger, and cooperation often begets cooperation. If you're flexible as possible in your separation, kids will love that too. And also too, if you're not seeing your kids as much, the third tip I will give is that proximity. And proximity is key, especially for, this is a dad's program, so I'll give, a couple of tips for dads out there. If you're close to your children, you're more likely to see them. And if there is no protective factors involved, the closer you are, the better it is. So you can go to their schools, you can watch their concerts. You often tell people to be a Where's Wally basically. So.
Yeah. So, yes, I mean, that might be the first shock to dad when he finds instead of being able to see his kids when he wants to, he has to negotiate with the mother to be able to even see his kids. And that's a dreadful shock for anyone, isn't it?
Absolutely, because prior to the relationship breaking up, you could take your kids to the shop and not worry about it. You can take them overnight somewhere and go camping and there's no issue. But in separation, all that you had before that was presumed, it now has to be negotiated. In some of these instances, they can be worked out very, very quickly and very easily and without cost and without angst.
And some very practical tips you give in the book. If you're going to make a payment, you've got to keep the child support agency in mind, so certainly don't make a payment without keeping a record of it.
Absolutely. But as with anything that you do, especially in separation, if you need to look back and find the information, it's not there. Mm. So if you've got records of payments and you've got them through a bank check or you've got them, via child support itself, then there is records there. But no one can actually make up any stories, and no one can make up any lies then. So, I often tell people who are in angsty sort of situations, be aware that of an intervention order and the potential for one, because what you might misconstrue as just basic talking, another person may misconstrue as abuse. So be very careful and be very professional in your communication with your former partner. And that's one of the biggest keys that I often teach people, is that keep it professional as possible. If you're going to send a text to somebody or you're going to email someone, make sure that it's professional. It is, hi, how are you? What are you up to? I'm going to pick up Johnny at 3 o'clock. Thanks.
And I think you also suggest that if there's any negotiation, you work out the kids before you start talking about the property And that seems to me is very sensible advice. And you just mentioned then about not venting and the communication and keeping that professional business-like attitude. Dads really have to be perfect, don't they, if they're going to succeed in this area?
Absolutely. Dads do have to keep their nose clean. Like, I see people all the time, and they do things to self-sabotage. And it's about making sure that, look, if you do get a lawyer's letter or you do get a text from your former partner, is to take that time to just sit back and actually read it in its entirety. I often say give 24 hours. If you're going to feel angry about it at that point in time once you receive it, don't answer back.
Look, there are a whole range of very worthwhile tips and suggestions in this new book, Separate Well or Separation Hell, by Peter Nowoszelski and Eric De Bruyne. Peter, we've come to the end of the program, but you've picked a song for us to go out on. I wonder if you could tell us which song it is and why you picked it.
I've picked the song Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. Every time I hear this song, I think of my children and I think of how beautiful they are.
That's a lovely dedication. So this is Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses. And that was Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. And it just remains for me now to thank our special guest, Peter Nowoszelski, who is the author of Separate Well or Separation Hell. Peter, thank you very much for being on the program.
Okay, thank you very much.
And we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. Just go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. So in the meantime, it's goodbye from Dads on the Air, and we'll be back next week with another program. So until then, bye-bye.